Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living. You're listening now to the Honest to God series with Ann Gail Rose and Ahanu.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ahanu, this is the first time that I can say it is a lovely morning in the Henderson Belt, but it is a little cold, wouldn't you say?
It is, but it's in the numbers that we're going to be talking about today. We're in the low temperature numbers also. But things are going to heat up as we get into our discussion today with Philip Clark, and we're going to learn how a pro football player became a stress reduction teacher and a numerologist.
Yes, and I've known Philip for quite a few years. I met him actually many, many moons ago. I won't tell you how many moons ago, at a psychic fair.
That long ago?
Yes, that we were both doing way, way, way back in Chicago. And from there, we ended up being great friends. And I think we even might have taught a seminar or two together. And when I lived in Chicago, before you whisked me away down here to the Carolinas,
Well, it's just as well I came and whisked you away, because you'd still be up there in the cold, low temperature numbers of Chicago, the freezing winters.
All right, I just want to tell our listeners, if you're interested in calling in today and asking any questions of Philip or just listening in, the phone number is 805-292-0349. That's 805-292-0349. And I don't want you to forget our Tuesday Tarot Show that we have every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, where people can call in and ask one free question of me, your host, Ann Gail Rose. And that phone number for the Tuesday show is 323-679-0929. Ahanu, do we have any announcements?
Well, we do. I want to tell people, and this is all about numbers too, we're trying to gather numbers together who will download the Spirit of Love of the United States of America. It's a picture that I did which represents the highest heroic outcome for this country. And it's available on my website, Ahanu.com, A-H-O-N-U.com. But here's my promise to people. For everybody who downloads it, it's only a dollar, but we will donate that 100% dollar to charity. So we're trying to gather numbers, and we need lots of numbers. We will donate all the income from that to charity. Just go to ahonu.com and download the Spirit of Love of the United States of America. Now, this is a beautiful symbol because it doesn't represent anything to do with territory or power or control or greed. It is only for the highest heroic outcome on every level, mind, body, and spirit. And it's a beautiful symbol that people can actually wear it on their baseball caps or on their T-shirts, or they can make fridge magnets out of it.
And car magnets.
And car magnets.
We've seen quite a few of those car magnets driving around North Carolina, and they look so official, don't they?
They look very official, but indeed, it's a most benign but yet powerful symbol of peace and prosperity and spiritual growth.
Yes, and if you stay tuned to the second half of the show, after Philip has to leave us a bit early today because he has other commitments. But in the second half of the show, Ahanu, we will be talking more about your Spirit of Love project and really the implications of that. So without further ado then, let's bring on our guest.
Okay, so before we click the go button with Philip, I want to just read out a little introduction about him, because this is fascinating to me, how a pro football player became a stress reduction teacher and a numerologist. He has over 31 years experience. He's also a Reiki master teacher, a transformational Reiki master, and a teacher of meditative practices. And he formed a company called MediNumerics, and he designed a whole creative process, actually, that assists individuals and businesses. He's actually brought this into businesses. And I'm surprised, and we need to talk to him about this, how businesses adopt this whole concept of numerology. But he's been able to identify traits and habits that stop people and businesses from achieving their maximum potential. And what he does is he has developed a 4A approach, is what he calls it. And he shows people how to tap into the powerful resources within. And this potential, of course, as we know, it's It's in all of us. And Philip teaches people how to tap into that potential. He has 23 years of experience in the life insurance industry.
I don't know if I could stand being a life insurance salesman for 23 years.
I know, but, you know, I used to do that at one point in time, and it's a tough business. It really is tough. So we're going to find out from Philip today how he has incorporated all of that experience. He was also a sales manager, a sales trainer, and he, during his career, of course, he covered designations of chartered life underwriter, a chartered financial consultant, and he's also licensed with the National Association of Securities Dealers. This guy is a hotshot in the finance business. And he graduated, of course, from Northwestern University School of Business with a major in finance. And then he was drafted into the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, we're going to talk about that today. And, of course, he was drafted by the National Football League. And he played for 5 years with the Cowboys, the Chicago Bears, and the New England Patriots.
Wow, we have a celebrity on
our We have a celebrity today. Now, he has also, of course, appeared on radio, TV. He's conducted numerous seminars, workshops, nationally and internationally. And he teaches ongoing classes in numerology, meditation, Reiki, and, of course, stress management. Now, we want Philip to give us the lowdown on how a pro football player became a stress reduction teacher and a numerologist. Good morning, Philip.
Well, good. That really sounds fantastic. But
if that's you, are you the same person?
Wow, wow. But let me, you know, let me kind of bring all of the audience up to date, because where I am now, I am being and living my passion. Where I came from, as Gail knows, because she wrote a paper based on all the information about how this little country boy, from country boy to city slicker. I don't know if she remembers that or not.
I remember, absolutely.
But it was,
what was that about?
Well, I grew up. Yeah, go ahead, Gail.
Go ahead. No, I was just explaining the article. I interviewed Philip years ago. I was taking a college course on article writing, and I had to interview someone for that course, and I chose Philip because I knew he had a very interesting background, and it was actually very moving and very interesting, because he did talk to me about his childhood and how the difficulties he had and how he overcame so many things. So go ahead, Philip. That's where you were going to pop in there.
Yes, I grew up in a small rural area right outside Cincinnati, Ohio, along the Ohio River. And I had a speech impediment, and it was called stuttering, and that speech impediment caused Philip to be very, very shy, very, very inward, and not wanting to be seen, because whenever anyone asked him a question, his whole body would shake, and his voice would literally shut off. And for a long time, they thought there might be some kind of physical handicap there, but this was the whole beauty of it. My outlet was, if it hadn't been for sports, there's no telling what might have happened to this young boy. But I put fear and anger into sports, and as a result of that, fortunately, I excelled in all of them. Now, that created another dilemma, because people wanted to know, hey, boy, how you do that? How you do that? And I withdrew even more, because I didn't want to embarrass myself by stuttering. So to make a long story short, that is what opened the door for me to excel in sports, in all of them, and then make the transition from that little rural town up to Northwestern University. And
was
so when I got that,
for you at that time?
Oh, it was amazing, because it's that little bitty town right outside Chicago, that small college town. Now I got more recognition. And it just, a lot of people thought I was stuck up and aloof, because I didn't want to be seen, I didn't want to embarrass myself, and I kind of laid back. So that was a major, major step for me. And then when I got into pro ball, and I literally was forced to give a speaking engagement, my coach with Dallas Cowboys was the president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Tom Landry. And when I was traded to the Bears, Don Schenick, who had been the secondary coach for the Cowboys, said, "Hey, Clark, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is having their national meeting here in Chicago. And since you were a member with the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to be the main speaker."
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay. I froze, and I don't know how long it took me to get this out, but I finally got it out. No, I can't do that. And he said, "Yes, you will, or we'll take it out on the field." And I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant. So,
it sounds like the Marine Corps.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So this is what Philip did. Philip memorized 18 legal size pages.
Wow.
Philip read 3 books on public speaking. Philip joined the Professional Speakers of Illinois. And in order to get a certificate from the Professional Speakers of Illinois, you had to develop what was called your signature speech. And that signature speech was one of the best things that ever happened to Philip, because it was the whole focus of the signature speech was to allow yourself to be approachable. They said, because when you're up front, you're the expert. And to the audience, you have never gone through anything that they have gone through. So it was specifically designed to bring up vulnerabilities and things like that. So when I put mine finally together and I presented it and I got my certificate, that is how I started out my talk. And then I've used that ever since. And that thing went like this. Last class of the day in grade school was history class, and they would start reading a paragraph at a time in the first row, and by the time it got to this little boy, he was in the sixth row, 3 seats from the end. He knew several things would happen. The teacher would call his name. "You're next, Phil." And the little boy would begin to read the paragraph. And then the bell would ring. And the little boy would grab his and run for the door. And right before he got to the door, he would hear this. Phil can't talk. But fortunately for the little boy, it was the last class of the day. And the next activity was sports. So the little boy put fear and anger into sports. Stood out in all 4 of them. Mm-hmm. Now, the very first time I did that, they couldn't get up to me fast enough. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the women were crying. And they would say, "Oh, Mr. Clark, but you speak so well now." And then the guys would say, "Yeah, and we're paying you. That's really great." A lot of that was how it all started. And after my playing days were over, what brought me into this arena is I went through a divorce. And I hid for 9 months. I laughingly say it's the closest thing I've come to understanding pregnancy, because I had stomach pains every day, chest pains, headaches every day for exactly 9 months. And I didn't want to be seen. I didn't feel good myself. And I felt like, you know, it was all over. My best friend set up two appointments with his doctor, and I canceled both of them. The third one, he came and took me. The doctor gave me the most thorough exam I've ever had and said, if all my patients were as healthy as you are, Mr. Clark, I'd be out of business.
Wow.
And I said, but doc, I hurt. He says, I know you do. He says, from what Richard, the friend who took me, tells me, everything you've done, you've been successful at, which tells me you've got a big ego. Now, to me, ego was bad. So I said, no, I don't. And he said, yes, you do. And for one reason or another, you and your wife decided you didn't want to live together anymore. He said, that has shattered your ego. All you need are some good, close friends to put that ego back together again, friends like Richard. Now, this is where that epiphany came in. My mother had died when I was 18 rather. This is when I was 32. I saw my mother standing behind the doctor, and the way she would always get our attention is she would shake her right index finger. And I heard in my head, the words that she would always use, boy, and then followed by whatever she wanted us to understand. Once you get married, you stay married. I had the most complete understanding of what I had gone through. I had broken the law, her law.
Yeah.
And then the doctor says, well, I've got to put you on medication. I said, what, for a month or 2 months? He said, no, for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And
I
describe it as the little white pill, the little blue pill, the little yellow pill, three times a day. Now, this is where all of this started falling into place. Hypertension medication for the rest of my life. Now, being in the insurance business, and having hid, I'd go to work, I'd do all my stuff, and then I'd go into the apartment. One of my clients said, I'm giving a house opening, and I want you to be there, and I'm inviting a lot of other people. And I said, okay, I'll come. Now, I was in the insurance business, and one of my clients was a detective. And he comes running over to me, hey, Clark, I'm in a new business. And I said, are you leaving the police department? He said, no, no, I'm just doing this on the side. So I looked at the card, stress relief through meditation. And I said, oh my goodness, I'll be there. Now, what allowed Philip to make that step was that guy, and he was a detective, so, you know, it might be okay. Because all the other stuff that I had heard, especially growing up in the church, that stuff like that wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there, and as I walked into the room, it ended up being about 35 people. As I walked into the room, I looked in the corner, and I saw the paramedics. And with my left brain, I said, oh, my God, I wonder if this is dangerous. Why would the paramedics be here? So he came forward and he said, welcome to stress relief through meditation. And as you can see, I've got the paramedics here. And the reason they're here is we're going to have each one of you sit in this middle chair. And we're going to hook you up to a blood pressure cuff, a heart monitor, and a brain monitor. And all I want you to sit in your greatest fear. Oh, okay.
Sit in your greatest fear. Okay.
That's crazy, but okay. So we all did that. And to a person, blood pressure went up. Heart rate increased. Brain waves went not just into upper beta, but gamma. And then when we all finished, he said, now, was that real? And we said, no, we made it up. And he said, if you can do that with your greatest fear, might not you be able to do the same thing with your hopes, dreams, and desires?
Cool.
Now, that was just like a pre-game pep talk when I was playing football. I could feel my stomach just, okay, yeah. and the beauty of that, 13 months later, I'd been going to the doctor every month for checkups. 13 months later, the doctor says, you don't need the medication anymore. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right. Excellent.
Great.
Yeah.
Now,
meditation
helped me take that first step. Mm-hmm. Then the detective's partner was an intuitive, and she said, now we're going to introduce you to other disciplines, and the first one was numerology. And the way things always unfold, and this is, you know, as Gail knows, our guides, our teachers, I mean, it was just amazing, because here we are waiting for the class to start. All we had done was sent her our name and birth date, and she was about an hour 15 minutes late. She drove up from Indiana. She was in Chesterfield, Indiana, and we're waiting. Boy, gosh, sure hope she comes. The doorbell rings. She steps into the foyer. She didn't say, I'm sorry I'm late. She didn't give any additional feedback for what took her so long. First thing she said, and she looked exactly like the psychic in Poltergeist, if you ever saw that movie.
So it is.
And she stepped into the foyer, and this is what she said. Who's Philip Clark? And I slowly raised my hand. May I use your profile as a teaching tool? It's very graphic.
Very graphic.
And all day long, I acknowledge, and all day long she kept asking me questions. Philip, what happened here? Philip, what happened at age 17? Philip, what happened at age... And I'm really, really getting kind of upset, because these were major, major points in my life, and now everybody was becoming aware of them.
Yes.
And that really, really upset me. And after the class, I went running up to her and I said, you're psychic, aren't you? And she said, yes, but I read your profile. And I went over to the intuitive and I said, why'd you have to tell her all about me? And she said she didn't. This is what started Philip on his journey into numerology. I ran out to my car, drove to two libraries. The first one was closed. By the time I got to the second one, I was getting a little agitated. I said, do you have any books on numerology? The guy says, well, sir, I've never heard of that, but you might want to look over here. I found two books that day. The next 7 years trying to disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that intensity, it kept taking me further back. And it really helped me begin to understand the origin of numbers. Also, it began to address a lot of the symbology that I was given in religion, but I was only given it literal. And it really, really brought it full circle. And numerology helped Philip understand Philip. And this is how I came up with the name MediNumerics, Meditation and Numerology.
Just give us out that full website address for the benefit of our listeners, Philip, please.
Okay. It's Philip Clark. That's Philip with one L, Clark with no E, dot dynamicdigits.com. Philip Clark dot dynamicdigits.com.
Great.
Okay. Now, we're speaking with Philip Clark, who is a practicing numerologist with over 31 years of experience. He's also a Reiki master teacher and a teacher of meditative practices. Philip, the question that's been burning in my mind to ask you is, throughout your the discourse there of your history and where you, how you got into numerology, you mentioned Philip several times as if it was a third person Philip, as if he was somehow distant from you. Do you purposely distance yourself from that child Philip who had all these difficulties?
No, that child. Well, in the beginning, I did, because that child was not accepted, and that child different, and because that child was different, what was inside, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be like everybody else, and you know, it kind of like I was on the outside looking in, and that's exactly the early life that I lived. I was a loner. Now, when I got into meditation and numerology, oh, that's why that was. That's, it really began to shed light on all of it. And my basic number is the number 6, which is my birth date number, which is all about learning to be with all kinds of people, especially family and relationships. And my name is the 7, and the 7 is the loner. And I said, might be something to this stuff. And
okay.
it was really amazing how it helped me get back to me. It helped me begin to ground some of this stuff, because none of it made sense. Well, this ain't logical. No, it was beyond logic. Because logic, I've learned, is just that left brain. And that left brain is only 10 to 15% of our capacity. And I said, wow. And it really helped me learn to go inside, reconnect with what I now describe as our inner power, feelings, imagination. And I've gotten away from saying intuition and psychism. I say inner knowing.
Right.
Yes.
So can you tell us, can you now bring the listeners into the actual work that you do and a little bit about numerology itself, because you were just describing to us how basically it sounds like you saw your whole soul pattern in your own personal numbers. So can you kind of explain to people how numerology is a blueprint of their soul and what they're here to do?
Sure. The your birth date is the only thing that we can't change. And that birth date holds the soul's lessons for the life. And when you add all the numbers together in your birth date and reduce it down to a single digit, I define it as your soul's purpose. Or similar to going to school, your major of life. The month, the day, and the year would be similar to the classes you're taking to learn that major. And so that literally becomes what I describe as your curriculum. Now, when you subtract numbers, you find stress, you find obstacles. So when you subtract the day and the year, those are going to be weak links. Those are going to be things that could get in the way. But when you add the month and the day, when you add, you're going to find that now you have the solution or your pathways. So that birth date holds all of the soul's purpose for the life. Now, your name, and this is where I get the majority of the, Charlie.
Okay.
Our talents, our abilities, our weak links, things that we haven't learned, and our best way of learning our soul's lessons for the life. And that's what really helped me get back to me, because when you look at your name, even though we think mom and dad pull it out of the air, that name literally begins to become entrained in your nervous system. The moment it's put on the birth certificate or even thought of, it becomes a vibration. And right, when that gets entrained, after you hear it over and over and over, this is why the naming ceremony in ancient times was the most important, because we literally already have that in our nervous system. And when we become aware of it, we bring our natural talents out. When I say our nervous system, not just the cerebral spinal nervous system, but the autonomic that's under the dominion of the subconscious. So our best friend also is on the same page, the subconscious. So you've got your name and you've got your birth date. So those are the two pieces that bring to the surface the soul's purpose for the life and our best way of learning that.
Okay. So how, give us an example then, Philip, and let's use my birth numbers as an example, just to illustrate, because it's okay in theory, but it's nice to actually have the tangible numbers to work with. I was born on the 11th of February, 1958. How does that break down, and how do you read the soul's purpose into those numbers?
Okay, now what was the year, 1950 what?
58.
Okay. You take the entire year, 1958, and you add all those numbers together, and you would get 23, which reduces to a 5. And your month is a 2, your day is an 11, which also is a 2. But double digits of the same digit, double digits of the same digit are called master numbers. Now, it doesn't make
anybody
better.
My wife, Angela Rose, would have a field day with her 11-11.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't make anybody better than anybody else, but what it does is it brings in more energy. It brings in more energy. So your month would literally be your introduction to the physical plane. The day would come in about 8/7/28. It literally is tied to the Saturn return. And then the year would be there for the rest of the life. So we even have, when you add the 2, and the 11, hold on a minute, I've got a, okay, when you add the 2 and the 11, you get 13, and then your year being 23 is a 5, that's 18, and 1 plus 8 is 9, that becomes how we get to what your soul has asked you to come here, experience, and hopefully learn. So that would be called your life's purpose, your soul's purpose. And for you, 9, last of the 9 numbers, and 9 is the humanitarian, through understanding and wisdom. So your soul literally has asked you to come here and be with all kinds of people, really be there for humanity with this really, really amazing level, understanding and wisdom. So you are to understand how all this works and then share it with humanity.
Well, we're
now,
doing
look
that
at
today
your,
with Philip Clark.
Yeah, exactly.
On the line. Yes.
Exactly. Now, your month and your day, 2 is all about balance. 2 is all about being able to be there with others, cooperate, share, help. Now, that 11, which is your second class, raises that its highest vibration. And all that means is you were being asked to go inside, get back into balance, come out, and really know, understand, and then share what is meant by a spiritual being going through a physical experience. And this is exactly what you're doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, now,
I'm trying to get him to do it more, though. He spends a lot of time on that computer, Philip.
of course. But what's going to get in the way? Well, when you subtract double digits, you'd reduce down to the single digits. So when you subtract 2 from 2, you get 0.
Right.
And that doesn't mean no challenges, but what it does mean is you could experience all of them, but you would know how to handle them.
Okay.
Now, the only challenge you have is the challenge between now, that's second class and the last one, and 2 from 5 is 3, the challenge of expression. Now, all that means is you are to be able to express yourself. You are to be able to speak your truth. And it also is all about creativity. And duh!
Makes sense.
Yes.
And
yes.
You have the same exact challenge as I do. Mine is a 3, yours is a 3, but you can see we go through it in many, many different ways.
Yes.
And this allowed me to bring out my creativity, and you're doing exactly the same thing. So that's the soul's purpose. Now, when you add these numbers, who's added together, it's the 4, which is discipline. So that's going to be discipline. That's going to be a tremendous asset for you. Setting the goal, breaking it down to simple steps, and following through. Your other one is going to be the number 7. And that is the mental number and the spiritual number. So it's not just happenstance that you're doing what you're doing. But when you add the 7 and the 4 together, what do you get again?
11.
Duh, yeah. So you already have that as a part of your learning. It's already there. You're just being asked to go inside and tap into it. So
yes.
You are doing literally what you came here to do, and it's going to assist your soul in continuing to grow. This is why all of this, because it's once we understand it. I mean, in ancient times, taught in the mystery schools, but unfortunately, it was only for the elite, the wealthy, and the all of this was kept very, very private. But now, where we are, it is available, and we have the ability to benefit from it. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, we're speaking with Philip Clark, who is from Chicago. He's a practicing numerologist with over 31 years of experience, and he is speaking to us about numbers. Philip, in a lot of people are reporting seeing numbers on their digital clocks, the likes of 11-11 or 12-12, and other numbers come up all the time in our day-to-day activities, like 9-11, for example. What significance can anyone attach to those kind of repetitive numbers that they hear and see?
Well, when those numbers do come up, it's all about getting our attention, helping us move to higher levels of understanding. But because we're not aware of that, or because we just say it's a coincidence, some people will begin to explore that. Why does this happen all the time? Some people will begin to go to books. Some people will begin to access a little bit about numerology. Some people will take that even further and try to find a numerology class or something like that. It's all about bringing this energy to the surface now and letting us fully understand that there is more than one way to get our attention and also to raise our consciousness to a higher level of understanding. That's a lot of, in the very beginning, I thought it was just being awake with your eyes open. I'm conscious. But I keep learning that it's awareness,
yes,
understanding, knowledge. And so just being aware of those numbers and just knowing that it's not just random. It's not just coincidence. They're trying to get our attention. And then as we begin to explore those numbers, oh, okay, that's what that means. So, yeah, it's not just happenstance.
Okay. Now, you're giving us some fantastic, beautiful storyline of how you came to benefit from the study of numerology and meditative practices. What are the benefits for somebody who might take up the understanding of numerology now, or how can they practically benefit in their own lives on a day-to-day basis?
Very good question. I have numerology as my diagnostic tool. And what I mean by that is it helps us begin to understand the who, what, where, when, and how of this thing called life. And as we begin to see that there is a higher purpose, and that what I've been experiencing are all of the components of that. And this is what I like when I meet people and they say, well, you didn't tell me anything I didn't know. And I said, oh, thank you. Well, I didn't know it until I got your birth date and your birth name. And it's really, really creating an awareness of why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. And then from that name, it really helps us see our best way of doing that. This is why I describe it as my diagnostic tool. Then through meditation, through a lot of the other tools that I incorporate, now it helps people get back to themselves. It helps people begin to do the one thing we can 100% do anything about, get back to managing ourselves and moving forward in life.
Right. Right. Very, very good explanation. So, okay. So when you talk about, can you see in numerology predispositions to illnesses?
Yes. Very much so. Especially in the missing numbers in the name. The missing numbers in the name are called karma numbers. I just say lessons that we haven't learned. And as you begin to look at those and begin to understand the symbology of the numbers, for example, when you see a missing number, 7, and you know that 7 relates to the thinking, that person would literally be predisposed to physical symptoms of headaches or anything to do with the brain. When you see the missing 3, it would, and I see this a lot because it was one of my missing numbers. Not my missing numbers, but one of the my challenges, that has to do with the throat, and it could be anything with the throat, your speaking, that thyroid gland, the parathyroid, anything like that. And when you get into The four is all about the body, and it literally brings us to the liver, the gallbladder, the spleen, the stomach, all that whole area, the digestive area. Those, so there is a lot, and I can't dump that on people, but it helps me as I begin to ask my questions. Have you ever experienced anything like this or that? Yes. So the numbers, all the numbers carry connections with our totality. Yes.
So what would the four what would be the lesson of the four then, or the challenge of the four?
The lesson of the four is discipline, structure, organization, and putting together a process, breaking it down to simple steps and following through. A lot of times, people with a lot of that, oh, I'll get around to it, I'll get around to it. And they don't follow. So it's all about process, structure, discipline. More often than not, just the ability to know what it is and follow through with it.
Philip, do give us your website again, because you mentioned classes and courses and workshops and things, and many of our listeners may be interested in contacting you. How does one get in touch with you?
Okay, my website again is Philip Clark, that's Philip with one L, Clark with no E, dynamicdigits.com, and my telephone number and voicemail is 866-355-0017. That's 866-355-0017.
Okay. Now, we're aware that Philip Clark, who's with us today, numerologist extraordinaire and a former pro football player who became a stress reduction teacher and a numerologist, won't be with us for the full program today. But before you go, Philip, we've some more very, very important questions to ask you. And one of the most important ones in my mind is, when a person changes their name, like a woman after a divorce, for example, or indeed a lot of people now who are entering on a spiritual path are actually changing their names to what they feel is a spiritual name that is more conducive to their core being. How does that affect their numbers?
Well, what that does, and that's an excellent question, because one of my cohorts in Virginia, his whole practice is working with divorced women who have held on to the married name, and they say for the sake of the children. But that's his whole practice, helping them understand that by holding on to that married name, even though they've gotten rid of the body, the physical,
physical husband,
they're still holding on to the energy, and more importantly, the family lineage or karma. And it's all energy. It's all energy. So when you understand that it's energy and you begin to move into another energy, a lot of times people will do that to help them work with their original contract. And, for example, if you have a missing three or a missing six and you know, in your original name, or they're your challenges, and you can put together a name that has those missing energies, it literally allows us to get back to wholeness a lot quicker. And so it's all energy and vibration, and as we become aware of that, and see now where humanity has evolved to, our teachers, our angels, are bringing us that information, and it may just appear as a thought. I want to change my name, or a feeling. You know what? I really like the way that name feels. But we're getting that inner guidance, and yes, it is very important to follow through with it and move forward with it. And if people can, to really, you know, see what they're adding in the way of energy and vibration.
Philip, let me ask you, for the sake of our listeners, when you talk about the missing numbers, can you explain to people about that? Because I think maybe a lot of our listeners wouldn't really know what that means.
Okay. When you look at our alphabet, A to Z, we know that there's 26 letters in the alphabet. But the way numerology works with those numbers is, because there's nine basic numbers, take one and then you put your nine numbers up at the top. Then you align the alphabet under that. So you'll find that it goes from A to I, and then it'll start again, J to R, and then it'll finish S to Z. Now you've got the number vibration for each letter, and you can then align that with your name. And then as you look at all the numbers that are tied to the letters, if there's any missing numbers, those are what are called weak links. All the books will say those are your karma numbers, but I say they're your weak links and what your soul has asked you to, first of all, become aware of and now begin to incorporate into your life. This is one of the most powerful things in numerology with regard to helping people get back to wholeness. Once they learn what that energy is, once they begin to now incorporate that into their daily life, that missing energy, they get back to wholeness. And this is what this is all about.
Right. Well, that explains it very, very, very well. And yet, so you don't believe then that somebody could be given a wrong name when they're born?
No, no. It's we choose our parents, as a matter of fact, and you know this, we have a soul family. We have a soul family, and we've been with that family many, many, many lifetimes. Just like Shakespeare says, the whole world's a stage, and everybody's playing a part, even the villain. And it's you can't dump this on people because they'll say, yeah, right, you think I wanted this? No, not at all. But we come in with a family, and all of them are doing what they volunteer to do to help us grow. We choose our parents on the other side because it's our best way to come back in, to learn what we need to learn and also what they need to learn.
That's true. Well, my mother would have had a field day with me then because apparently she had quite a time with me.
I understand.
Let me tell you our story, Philip, because when you say that a person can't have a wrong name, we have an interesting story about that, because when I first met Gail, as you know her, she told me that her given name, her Christian name, was Gail Ann. Now, to me, it didn't resonate with her, right? Because I tune into the sound of a person's name and that essence, that vibration. And I felt that it was the wrong way around, that it should have been Ann Gail. Now, as soon as I said that, I realized this was the Irish word for angel. And many, many people, independent of me, have called her an angel. So what do you say to that, that a person has given name?
I would say that that is very, very descriptive. And I would also say that you and Gail have been together many, many lifetimes. And
you know that.
The day that you're born on. Okay, wait a minute.
Okay,
the day that you're born on is what?
Me? 11/11.
No. Yeah, I know you're that 11. And what is
yours? 11.
Okay,
February.
Now, there's two 11s born on that same day. And when you look at Anne, A is a 1, N is the 14th letter, so that's a 5. Then there's N, which is a 5. What's 1 plus 5 plus 5?
11.
Okay. And then... Then you wanted to move that to the front and then bring forth angel. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much more to all of this, but there is more. There is more. So, yeah, this is how it all works and how it all ties together. And this is how it got my attention and helped me begin to get out of the way.
Well, I'm going to tell our listeners how you brought numerology to my attention, because at one sitting a good long few years ago in Chicago, you told me about my name being a 7 and that the 7 is facing towards the smaller numbers or the past, and that I was continually looking to the past, and that was indeed true. And you said the way to change that is to think of the 7 as the bow of a ship, facing forward into the future. And as soon as you said that, that changed my life right there. It had a profound effect on me. So I'm sold on your skill and the way you articulate and explain numerology.
Well, let me tell you though, Philip, it's taken him all these years to move away from the past.
Well, see, for all of us, and what it basically helps us understand is, it can be done. This is all energy. And when you look at the seven, it's facing the past. And so if being the mental number, being the spiritual number, until it lets go of the past, all of that's going to be locked in place, and we're not going to be able to move forward. But when we do let that go, and this is why forgiveness is such a powerful skill, when we do let that go, it frees that energy up, and energy cannot be destroyed, but it can be changed. And now that energy is freed up and brought into the present. And now this is why the seven now becomes a genius. It has all the mentality that it's needed. It's also the spiritual number. And it brings heaven down to earth. So there's just so much more. And I would love to be back on the show sometime in the future, and I'm going to have to go, but I would just love to come back and talk.
Well, we would love to have you back too, and we'll definitely set up that time for you this week. We do have some spots in June, so we'll be talking to you about that, which will be fantastic.
And would you be open to listeners calling in and asking you to do the mini numerology readings, Philip?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That basically is what I do, and I would love to.
Okay, before you go, do give us out your web address and your telephone number again.
Okay, that's Philip Clark, Philip with one L, Clark with no E, dynamicdigits.com, and the phone number is 866-355-0017.
Well, thank you so much, Phil, for coming on, and we look forward to having you on again. And say hello to everybody over at Sticks and Stones. Tell them we miss them.
I certainly will, and both of you have a great day and continue your work with the show. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Okay, folks, we have had Philip Clark on the line with us today from Chicago. Philip was a pro football player who became a stress reduction teacher and a numerologist. And he has been entertaining us with his insights into numbers and his fantastic story about how he came from a shy, introverted, stuttering child all the way to speaking to large groups nationally and internationally, and teaches ongoing classes in numerology, meditation, Reiki, and meditation. He has had 23 years of experience in the life insurance industry and is a chartered financial consultant and licensed with the National Association of Securities Dealers, but spends all his time now working with his Dynamic Digits business, teaching and practicing numerology.
I have to say, I knew Philip when he was doing some of those other jobs before he was a full-time numerologist and meditation teacher. And I can remember when we would be at psychic fairs, one time he did come to me for a reading because he didn't know how to shift over from his conventional job to his spiritual work.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing that a lot of people actually who are waking up and becoming healers or becoming self-employed, let's put it that way, go through a fear period where they don't know how to make that transition. And the only advice you can really give them is they just have to do it.
You just have to do it.
And certainly Philip has made a wonderful, wonderful, his name of his company, Dynamic Digits, is so appropriate because he's made a dynamic life for himself, and he's absolutely wonderful in what he does.
Yeah.
And if you saw him also, he's hugely tall. And, when you try to picture this little shy boy, if you took a look at him today, you'd say, how do those two compute? But it's an example probably of the soul's mission to turn something that would be considered a disadvantage or a curse into your life's work.
Beautiful. And it's one of the pictures that we picked out of his portfolio of pictures from his website to choose to put on our radio show today was the one of him with his Dallas Cowboys outfit on. And he looks fearsome, doesn't he, really?
He does.
Yes. And, but behind it all, we have this beautiful, gentle, gentle, gentle soul.
Yes. Yes. I think for people who may want to know why he got out of football, he had an injury that didn't allow him to play anymore. But even when you look at that, you can say how that was divinely orchestrated as well. If you take a look at the path he was on, even as a child, how these opportunities came, you know, he channeled his anger into sports, and that got him out into the public. And because he was out in the public, he had to make speeches, and that led him to do something about his speech impediment, which brought him into, you know, going through the divorce and going through the stress of that. You can see how all those quote-unquote negative events actually gave him opportunities to overcome the challenges that he had. And sure enough, you know, he's overcome them all. And here he is speaking to corporations and taking people into meditation. And he's got a great sense of humor as well.
Yes. So we were speaking today to Philip Clark of dynamicdigits.com. His full web address is philipclark.dynamicdigits.com, and his telephone number is 866-355-0017. Now, speaking of numbers, we want to point people to the fact that we are starting to put more and more of our books, our e-books, on Amazon Kindle. And at this stage, we only have the small number of 5 books, but it's growing. Every couple of days, we're managing to get all our material up there. So if anybody wants to go to Amazon Kindle and search for Angel Rose or Ahanu, and I'll spell out those because they're both difficult over the air. They're A-I-N-G-E-A-L-R-O-S-E. That's Angel Rose, all one word. If you look for Angel Rose or Ahanu, A-H-O-N-U, on Amazon Kindle, you'll find that we have authored books, little ebooks on aromatherapy, acupuncture, Ayurveda. Angel Rose has put together a fantastic book called How to Read the Meanings of the Tarot Cards Like a Professional in 1 week. But I can certainly say that it will not take you 1 week. You can actually do it in a day with that beautiful, short, crisp method that you've been teaching for 35 years. So this is a question that I wanted to ask Philip today, was about the connection between the numbers in the tarot.
Oh, that's a whole show.
That's a whole show on it.
That would be a really interesting conversation, and we actually will bring him on. You know, he's going to come on again to do little mini sessions for people on air, and that'll probably be in June. But after that, we will make a point to have a show where he could relate the numbers of the major arcana, perhaps, to lessons in life or to, you know, pivotal points in your own life. That would be a very interesting show, absolutely.
Now, I want to talk to you today, Angel Rose, and bring to the attention of our listeners the fact that Philip Clark, numerologist, today mentioned about women especially changing their names after a divorce, but for any reason, like, for example, somebody choosing a spiritual name with which to identify themselves. A lot of people we know have feel more comfortable identifying themselves with a spiritual name as opposed to their Christian names or the names of their family on either side. Now, it has been my experience, and I have painted a lot of what I call family crest pictures, and they really tune in to the vibration or the frequency of a family name.
A last name.
And what I found is that it actually goes back forward. It goes back in time and forward in time to raise and heal family karma. Now, from the point of view of the Akashic Records, which you read all of the time, what's your feeling and your impression of the vibration of a family name?
Well, let me address it from Philip's numerology point of view first, where, you know, when he was using the example of if a woman gets divorced and she does not relinquish the name of her ex-husband, that she's still tied to the family. And when he said that, I was really kind of blown away by the implications of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll back up with our listeners on how you started to do the family crest, because it actually started, you know, from a spirit painting you did for a woman who was actually having problems letting go of things in her family. And when you were finished her picture, we commented that it looked like you painted her a new family crest.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we, you know, we suddenly got this download from spirit that was like, yes, 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 you know, explore that. And so then we started to talk about your last name because, you know, when I was divorced before, I never took back my maiden name.
Yes.
Okay, and until I met you and I married you, that name didn't change. You know, it changed when I married
you.
Well,
I got to change it straight away, didn't I?
Did you think you married me just to change my name?
I think so.
Anyway, but we got asking about the O'Grady name, remember?
That's right.
And you were telling me how the Latin meaning meant fallen but not defeated. And so
Well, that comes, just for the benefit of our listeners, a lot of the family crests and the ancient family names arising out of Ireland and throughout the United Kingdom and indeed into Europe, they actually carry a Latin inscription with them that was usually granted at a time of by a king or a queen or somebody in authority for prowess in battle or for loyalty. And this Latin inscription, in our case, said, vulneratus non victus, which means fallen but not defeated. But I remember the first time I told you that, what a reaction I got.
I did, and I'll mention my own maiden name in a minute too. But yeah, I said to you, why would anybody want to be fallen and not defeated? I mean, even though you're not defeated, what the inscription implies,
that's right,
as in subconscious imprint,
yeah,
is that you're always going to have struggles. You're always going to be,
that's right, you're getting knocked down.
Knocked down.
Do get up, but you get knocked down.
Yeah, repeatedly. And I thought, who wants that?
Yeah, and this has been carried by everybody, not only in my family, but anybody who carries the imprint of that name.
Of the O'Grady name.
Yes, because that is the sound, that is the vibration of it.
And even my maiden name, briefly, was Italian. It was Battellini. But when you look it up, the meaning of it is little battles. And I sure thought that's what my life, you know, had, yeah, been like in the past too, is all these little battles, these little struggles. So what spirit guided you to do was to repaint a new family crest, to take that O'Grady name and ask Source directly if that name didn't have any battles attached to it, and if it had no struggles, if it was in pure divine order, let's put it that way, mm-hmm, what would the image be? And I asked you to paint a new O'Grady crest, which you did. And it was absolutely beautiful. It had balanced colors of all the chakras in it. It had a, mm-hmm, a silver crown. It had, I believe, two unicorns at the top, mm-hmm, I mean, that were pink. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful. And it shifted our lives. Within 2 days, things started to change,
yes,
and move at an accelerated pace in a very positive direction. So, you know, since then, you know, the next person I remember showing a friend of mine who was a Buddhist nun, the image that she painted. And this was a woman who I highly respected, who'd come to me every week for healing work. Very, very intuitive person, very wise person. And she took one look at the new picture, and she said, do you have any idea what this does? And we said, yes, we do. And, mm-hmm, and of course, then she wanted one. And we haven't painted very many, you know, only because they're a bit pricey for the normal person. But,
well, they're expensive only because they take a lot of time.
They take a lot of time.
Yes,
I know. But they are worth it when you think of, mm-hmm, the implications of how that heals family imprints and patterns going backwards and forwards. And when you think of all the progeny that's going to be,
yes,
coming online with a particular last name, I mean, they're invaluable, really. I mean, you're really not charging enough for them, actually. But, you know, I find it interesting that here's Philip bringing up the same point, okay, that normally we wouldn't even be paying attention,
yes,
to our last name, or when you marry, whose last name you're taking. You know, if you knew numerology, you could take the time to, write down what you're, if you're going to change, if you're a woman and you're going to change your name to the person, the husband, what, how that's going to change your vibration. And it could be some of the reason why some women don't take on a new last name. They keep their own.
Yeah.
Or but they put a hyphen and that, you know.
It's a throwback to that old patriarchal time, too, where it was like a power and control issue to use the man's name and perpetuate the lineage of the male side.
Yeah, I don't have my personal thing, I don't have a negative feeling like that. I mean, to me, when I get married, I want my husband's last name because it means that we're one together. But certainly, if you knew you were going to inherit a lot of negative imprints by taking on that name, you may reconsider it.
Indeed.
Okay, not that you'd reconsider the marriage, but you might reconsider taking on the name.
Yes.
But or adding a letter. Sometimes you can just add a letter to a name and it will change the
whole this is what a lot of people did too, coming from Ireland at the time of the famine into the United States through Staten Island. A lot of the times the names were changed. Sometimes for very simple reasons that the immigration officer didn't understand or couldn't quite write the exact spelling of the name. But equally, a lot of people arriving wanted to change. They wanted to get away from that old horrific memory and the history that they were leaving behind and looking for the new life in America. So a lot of people changed their names on purpose at that point in time. But the difference in the dynamic of when you change the name, it's huge. Like in my case, the O'Grady, there's been branches of the O'Grady family who have changed to Brady or O'Brady with a B,
right,
as opposed to a G. The simple pronunciation of that change is strong. It's quite strong, the difference.
I know, and if you do numerology and you use Phillips' chart, again, I'll tell people what the chart is if you want to play with it yourself. But basically, you take the alphabet from A, you know, the first letters would be from A to I. So you'd write A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, I. And each letter is 1 to 9. In other words, A would be 1, B would be 2, C would be 3, etc. So you get to I. And then you'd start a new row beginning with J, and you'd go to R. And again, that would be 1 through 9 again. And then the third row would be F to Z, and you start with the F being 1, and then up until Z. And that gives you the number meanings or the number values of the letters, okay? So if you, you know, we probably won't have time to do it today, but if you did take O'Grady and figure out the numbers in total, because you end up adding up the numbers. Mm-hmm. If you have a name O'Grady, you find the number values of each letter, you add it up. If it ends up being a double digit, you add those two together to get the single digit. But if you changed O'Grady to O'Brady, you could very readily see, because I think G is a 5. Let's see.
Yes, it would
change. No, it's a 7. G is a 7. So that, you know, that's a spiritual
and B
number.
Is 2.
And B is a 2. So you could tell right there how
big,
different it makes the name.
Big difference in the vibration of the name. Now, I want to tell people where this is going, where it has gone, and how it developed, because we were doing these past life pictures, and then these family crests, which was changing the dynamic of the name and healing, doing ancestral healing effectively is what it was doing. And then one day you were in the Akashic Records, and I asked you in that space, what was the next step for this? And I was quite surprised the way you came back and you said, you've got to do effectively a family crest of the United States of America. And this was a whole new direction for this work that I was doing. Because imagine if you could heal into the past a country.
And into the future.
And into the future. So what I did was I went and painted. I went into a very deep spiritual place and I saw the images clear as day for me, which I rendered onto paper, and it's now available on my website at ahanu.com, ahonu.com. And you can see there the spirit of love of the United States of America. And it's a beautiful picture that has no negativities attached to it whatsoever. There's no symbols of battle or war or conquest or greed or money or anything like that. In fact, it incorporates all the various nationalities that go to make up this country. It includes the Native American Indians, the French, the Italian, the Chinese, the Irish, every nationality that is here effectively.
Right, and it's very harmonious and very cooperative.
Very harmonious.
Which is what really we're heading for in this world, not just this country. But I will scold you on the air because you were also told to do Ireland and Egypt, and we're still waiting. The world is still waiting. Uh-huh.
The world
is
still waiting.
In fact, somebody actually asked you, could you paint a family crest or a spirit of love picture of the world at this time? You know, could you imagine painting an image of the world in its highest heroic possibility? And there's no better time needed for that than now. So I'm going to hold you to that. Uh-huh.
Well, I cannot back down from that challenge. I will have to take it up, and I will certainly do it. And it is something that, you know, Philip talked about our soul journey, and particularly the number 11s, and that being a humanitarian, and that this is what I have to do. But I'm also quite excited about all the other projects that people have put to me arising from this work, this ancestral healing work, and this healing of the soul, past and future, when they asked me to paint the spirit of love of the trees and the spirit of love of the oceans and the spirit of love of the elementals and spirit of love of the land. So this is all necessary work that has to be done.
Yes, and now that you've gotten all those books up on Kindle, I think you only have one more Reiki book to do.
No, I have Reiki and I have homeopathy and several others that I have.
All right, well, I think, you know, the audience needs to call in and give you a piece of their mind, because as we know now, we're living in very precarious times, you know. We're on the edge of light and dark all the time, and certainly that world picture is necessary in terms of donating that frequency to the world.
Yes. Well, speaking of donating, I am happy that people would log on to ahonu.com, ahonu.com, and purchase the Spirit of Love of the United States of America for $1, and we will donate that entire dollar to a charity. So we just want to get that image out there. We want to get people wearing it on their baseball hats, on their T-shirts, wearing it on their sides of their cars and with car magnets and so on. And these can all be done from the website. Now, you're talking about this time period being precarious, and I want to talk for a couple of minutes about the very, very revealing information that has come out of the Akashic Record group readings that we do every Thursday night. And the last couple of nights, Mother Mary entered into the conversation and had some startling advice, effectively, to give us. Can you just articulate a couple of those items for our listeners today?
Yeah, so I first have to preface it to say that we have never had anyone like Mary come into the group, and it was quite surprising because we all had our little questions that we were going to ask that night, and once I said the prayer, she was just there, and she spoke to us a lot about the imbalance of the divine masculine and feminine energy. In fact, I am, you know, in the process of completing a book called A Time of Change, which will be summaries. Not really summaries, but actual transcripts of a lot of the group records nights that we have done in Ireland and in the United States. In fact, it'll be a series of books because I can only put certain topics in each book. But Mary pointed to say that she did want a section about the divine masculine and feminine and the imbalances that have surfaced and present actually for centuries in between the masculine, not only our external world, but in our internal world, in as far as the masculine and feminine principles within us. And she a beautiful statement, because she said, women can learn to be divine mothers, and women learn to be divine fathers. We're getting close. And I thought that was just a most profound, and the implications were obvious.
She also said, also find deprivation and poverty, the male-female principles are out of balance.
That's right. And into pole shifts. She said that, you know, the only reason that a planet would go into a pole shift is if those male and female energies are at such extreme poles that this is the only way that a planet can rebalance itself. So I thought, you know, that was so interesting because she really put a lot of focus on us as individuals, looking into our male and female aspects and finding out how we feel about those energies, just do a self-inquiry, because it will reflect itself in your relationships as well. You know, how you're treated by men or how you're treated by women has a lot to do with the state of your own inner male and female energies. So a good self-exploration, even to take a paper and write down how you feel about females and how you feel about males, or how do you feel about the masculine principle or the feminine principle, and take stock at what your reactions are, what your feelings are, because that does have a lot to do with how balanced, you know, and healthy, I might say, you are as a being yourself, as a person, and how you deal with the world and what you attract to you. Because she was really saying, as long as there's this division or there's this separation between male and female on any level, where if one is more dominant than the other, wherever it's out of balance, it affects the world. And as a population, there are so many imbalances in those principles. And this is the reason why, you know, if we're going through a rocky road or bumpy ride through this transition cycle that we're in, part of that is because we haven't really come into harmony with our own male and female energies.
That's right. She also, the Divine Mother also said that she is sad when she looks at the degree of fragmentation that we have chosen between the Divine Masculine and the Divine Feminine. But she also revealed something very interesting too. She said that she actually said that she was White Buffalo Calf Woman.
She did.
I thought that was fascinating.
She did say that, or that, yeah. She is White Buffalo Calf Woman, not that she was.
Yes.
That she is.
She is.
Yeah,
indeed.
That was yeah. Pretty revealing.
She knows the science of the universe, and she knew that she was bringing in an avatar too. Okay.
And last night, so she did come in 2 weeks in a row. She came in last Thursday as well. And, you know, she really urged us to not be lazy with our self-growth. She encouraged us, actually, to stop trying to think of solutions to the planet's problems from an intellectual or a linear point of view, because, you know, as time is collapsing, she was a bit indicating that we don't have, you know, time to take our time figuring out solutions, that there is a dark agenda that is building momentum, that its purpose is to keep us asleep and keep us enslaved, and that we don't have the luxury of sitting on our laurels. And she encouraged us to go direct to Source itself. You know, she gave the image that when we use our intellect, we're following a linear path of progression. But when we go direct to our own God selves, to intervene, to connect with the part of us that carries God inside us as a living presence, when we refer to that, we intersect this paradigm vertically and open the door to miraculous possibilities. And, you know, that vertical intersection does intersect time and space as we know it, and allows us to bypass the paradigm that we're in and bring in, you know, a new reality or new events, you know, in that intersection. So she did say, you know, take time every day alone with yourself, commune with your inner God, you know, bring the presence of the divine, you know, the divinity really that's within every one of us. Affirm your own, you know, mighty God presence inside you. Surrender your ego mind to it and let it begin to be, you know, the force that actually molds your life and propels your life. So it was a very urgent message last week.
One of the things that struck me very, very strongly over the last couple of weeks was a message from Source that said, take back your world. I thought that was so profound.
It was. Take back your world.
Yeah. Because in lots of ways we've capitulated to authority in all kinds of ways, and we've handed our power away to every kind of entity and every kind of authority figure. And basically the message from Source was, take back your world, meaning, of course, your inner world as well as your outer world.
Right. I certainly wasn't advocating any type of revolution.
No, not.
Or violence. More or less saying, really we need to stop behaving like babies.
Yes.
And that we turn our authority over to so many people, whether it's governments or religions or parents or our spouses even, that we give our power away to so many people when we really should be, referring to our own God self for our decisions. And we are certainly all capable of that connection if we just take the time to put intention on it. And it is really as simple as whatever you give attention to blossoms in your world. So if you're going to let your intellect run the show, you've got a long road ahead of you.
Sure.
But if you turn to your own inner God presence, that's a whole other ballgame.
If anybody wants to read the summaries of those transcripts from the group Akashic Records that Angel Rose and Ahanu do every Thursday night, you can actually find them on Angel Rose's website at angelrose.com, AngelRose.com. They are dynamic, well worth a read. They are posted every single week after the group records. And indeed, we're looking shortly to actually put the live event online where people can connect online and be present as you are in the group Akashic Records, getting this dynamic information which is necessary for our world at this point in time. So let us just do a quick summary in the last few minutes that we have left of the fantastic guests that we have had on over the last few weeks. We've had John Burley, who was a musical therapist, and he was using his music to heal people, which was a wonderful show. That was on February the 18th. Then we had Linda Lavin, who's a life coach, and she was into personal transformation. Very, very worth a listen. Ambika Waters, who's a homeopath, she was on March 3rd. Fascinating information about how homeopathy can actually help the individual heal the physical body as well as attitudes towards life in general. Bonnie Sandera was on March 10th, shamanic journey, shamanic energy healer. Great, exciting, fabulous information about how shamanism can actually help people heal also in these times. And then on St. Patrick's Day, we had the great Kevin O'Kelly, Irishman like myself, speaking about the mystical and sacred sites in Ireland and telling stories of Irish and mystical heroes of that time. Fascinating, worth a
And Michael
listen.
Murray. We had Michael Murray
we
on.
We had Michael Murray on, spoke about his 4 near-death experiences on March 24th. That was a fascinating read. People can hear all these episodes on blogtalkradio.com/Art of Living Well. Look for us under the Honest to God series. Honest to God series.
And next week, Ahana, we will be having Dr. Larry Sadecki, who is an eye doctor, who will be talking to us about healing your eyes with light. And that is going to be a fascinating interview because he has healed his own eyes with light and indeed has helped many other people reduce their prescription glasses to just about not needing them at all. In fact, some people don't need them at all. So he was on, and then again last week too, we had on Carolyn Drogan.
Oh yes.
You can't really say enough about Caroline. You just have to listen to it. And the week prior we had Susan and Philip Madley, who were on, who talked to us about their 40 years being raw food vegans, and both of them have worked for Dr. Gabriel Cousins. So that was a very, very powerful
show.
So tonight, show as well.
Okay.
Don't forget to get
in touch with us. Do get onto our website, angelrose.com or ahonu.com, or on the blogtalkradio.com/Art of Living Well. You'll find us under the Honest to God series.
Yeah, so thank you everybody for listening today. Do tune into the Tuesday radio show, The Tarot Show, at noon Eastern Standard Time. That one is under blogtalkradio.com/Ann Gale Rose.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the best until next week.
Bye-bye.